Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is it true that the Chinese, they like to have sons rather than daughters? The reason, I believe, is because daughters marry out and they take the surname of, or the family name of the husband, for the husband's lineage to continue. Whereas our sons will continue to take our name, and there is a continuation of our heritage. And so perhaps that's one of the reasons why we prefer sons or daughters. No, I changed. Not we, you. You all deserve. Well, that's what they charge me for. They means my friends and some church members say that, you know, you love your son more than your two daughters. That's not true. I love all three of them the same. Then my two daughters will say, no, Dad, not true. Of course, they don't understand. But why is there a need for continuity? Somehow, there is this innate desire in us that when we start something, we do not want it to die when we die. We want it to continue on. You see this in many big corporations. You see this in many of man's very famous companies. They want a proper continuity. Our first prime minister made sure that the next generation of leaders would continue the good work that he had done in this country. Because I think he has seen enough in many other countries where a good leader failed to have a good successor. And because of that, all the good deeds and good work of that good leader came to naught, because he did not find a good successor that would continue the good work to build upon what he had built. And so therefore, this desire for continuity is very real in our lives. How much more when it comes to God's plan of salvation for mankind? In his case, you and I must understand that when we look at the Old Testament witnesses have been given a twofold responsibility, whereas in our case, it's only a one-fold or single-fold responsibility. In the Old Testament times, before the first coming of Christ, they had a twofold responsibility, and that was to make sure that they bear a holy witness for Christ. With progressive revelation, whatever portion of the gospel and the word of God that they receive, they were to promote it, obey it, and pass it on from one generation to the next. The second was the continuation of the messianic line. That was beyond Israel's ability. That was God's ability alone. And yet, there was a human part that we have to consider, whereby God had entrusted to his servants that privilege and that honor to do what they could to ensure that the messianic line was not broken. Because if at any time the messianic line was broken, God's plan of salvation to save us from sin would be jeopardized. It would be gone for good. When they were a nation, the messianic line was insulated inside the nation of Israel. And so in order for the messianic line to be cut off, the devil had to infiltrate into the nation, which he did through the marriage of Ahab to Jezebel, who gave birth to a daughter called Athaliah. And then Jehoshaphat, one of the good kings, but he was a foolish king, made peace with the northern kingdom, allowed his son to marry Athaliah. And then upon his death and the death of his son, Athaliah wanted to be the next king of Judah. And she killed all her grandchildren, except for one, Joash, saved by God's grace and mercy by the auntie, Jochebed. He infiltrated into the nation to try to sever the messianic line. But before the formation of the nation of Israel, how was the messianic line protected? It was not protected at all as far as man's perspective was concerned. We know that Abraham was the chosen one. Was he protected at all living in a walled-up city? He was told, in fact, not to live in a walled-up city. He had to be separate. He had to remain distinct
And for the rest of his life here in the land of Canaan, later on known as the land of promise, he will have to depend entirely upon God and God alone to keep him safe. And so now he has come to the end of his life and witness. And all that he had done by faith, which was tremendous, amazing, would come to naught if he did not pass on to the next generation, his son, that which was the messianic line. The witness part, not as significant and serious compared to the messianic line. Because without the messianic line, there is no witness at all, actually. And so what he had to do was to pass it on to his son. But after the death of Sarah, he married Keturah. Now when you look at the name list, Keturah had 6 sons. And very soon the Bible recorded for us that Abraham was a grandfather. Not the grandfather that we had in mind through Ishmael. Ishmael was cast out some time back. But now with this new wife, Keturah, he had 6 sons. And the Bible tells us that 2 of these 6 sons, Yokshan and Midian, they had children of their own. Verse 3, Sheba, Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Latushim and Lemuim. That means great-grandchildren. So Abraham had sons, and then the sons of Abraham through Keturah had sons. And then the sons also have more sons. And then you have the sons of Midian, also have sons, and these were the children of Keturah. So the family was getting pretty large. The continuity must continue, the messianic line. And therefore, wisdom was required in continuity. Otherwise, it will fail. It will collapse. Sure, we know and acknowledge that the continuation of the messianic line is entirely God's doing. And you're going to find that throughout the next few chapters of the book of Genesis when we study, that you perhaps might be a little disturbed or even shocked by the way that God had to use the weakness of sinful men, including believers, in order to accomplish his amazing messianic line. But in this case, God gave the privilege to Abraham. Abraham knew that if he was not going to do something before his passing, the messianic line would be in trouble. Because now with Keturah's large family remaining in the same home, and Isaac was not a man of strong character like his own son, Jacob, he could perhaps easily be pushed around. And that is why the Bible recorded for us that while he yet lived, look at verse 6, while he yet lived, he had to do something that was very wise to protect the messianic line. And that was to send all of his children through Keturah away. He had no choice. This was the wise thing to do from the spiritual perspective. Now remember, he knew that he was part of the messianic line. God revealed that to him on at least 3 occasions. Genesis 12, 15, and 18, at least 3 occasions, very clearly, including perhaps Genesis 22. He knew, and he knew that if they remained behind, they would want a share of Abraham's inheritance, which they were not allowed to. Abraham's inheritance, everything that he had, including the spiritual, must belong only to Isaac. And that's why he had to send them away, and the Bible said, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son. He had to. Because he gave all that he had unto Isaac because of the spiritual significance. Now this is not meant for us to use as an example if you want to make your own will. Okay? You cannot do that. For example, if Elder Winston wants to make a will, who is the firstborn? I think he is in FEBC, right? So how many children do you have? 4. Wow, praise the Lord, 4 is very good. And so if he wants to give everything to the firstborn, should he now drive the three away and give them some gifts and say bye-bye? Because I'm going to give all my inheritance to firstborn. I want to follow Abraham's example. This is not meant for us to teach us how to write will and give everything to one. And then the rest just simply say bye-bye. This was unusual. This is unique because of the spiritual significance. The messianic line. Unless he is the new Messiah. Which I don't think he dares. He's not the new Messiah, Elder Winston. If he says he's the new Messiah, he's in trouble. This is different. He had to do it to protect and keep the messianic line intact. Because if the other sons and their sons and their sons' sons were to have a share in Abraham's inheritance, right here and now, it would compromise God's plan of salvation for mankind. Now, we know what God's plan involved because of completed revelation for us. We are now looking back because through Isaac, he will have twins. And then out of the twins, one will have to leave. Only one could remain. And it happened to be Jacob. And then God will use Jacob through his family of 12 sons to bring forth the nation. Now imagine if the children of Keturah were mixed into this group. The chaos and the complication and the problem would be enormous. And the spiritual significance and continuity would be jeopardized. And that was why God made it very plain and clear in two simple verses explaining to us. He had to give everything to Isaac because of the spiritual significance. Remember, the messianic line is not protected within a nation. It is exposed. It is a messianic line where God's servant lived in tentage. Very easy for it to be cut off. And the best way is to do it from within. Enemies from outside are not as dangerous as enemies from within. And don't forget, the devil can use anyone to accomplish his will and his work. As you can see in subsequent chapters. The lying, the cheating and the deception in the home of Isaac was heartbreaking. And God willing, we're going to look at them and see how we can learn from their mistakes and avoid them in our own homes. And so he had to protect the messianic line, and so wisdom was required, and he made sure that while he was still alive, no one would harass Isaac, and there would be no in-house fighting. Because he was still the head of the house. And they all would respect him. Now, one thing we need to look at. Why was it that when he sent Keturah's children away, he gave them gifts before he sent them away, in contrast to the other son, Ishmael, where he did not give him gifts. He gave him only a small piece of bread and some water. That's it. Why was that the case? Why did he give Ishmael also gifts when he sent them or him and his mother away? The reason was the background. No record of the children of Keturah trying to usurp or had any intention of killing Isaac. But in the case of Ishmael, it was different. The context was he was upset, he was angry, he saw Isaac as a threat. Because he was number one. I was here first for the past 13 years until you came along. Whereas in the case of Isaac, he was there first. And then the children of Keturah came along. And so perhaps the rest saw him as the oldest, and therefore there was no intention of them trying to kill him. Not in the case of Ishmael. And that's why God cannot allow Ishmael to be rewarded for his intention to kill Isaac out of greed. Because he wanted the inheritance of Abraham. Now remember, you and I may see this as an older son upset with the newborn. But if you look at it from the spiritual perspective, that greed and that anger, that venomous hatred was used by the devil. If he had succeeded in killing Isaac, God's messianic line would have been cut off. And that's why he could not be rewarded. And so he was given the very basic water and bread with God's promise that he will not die. But you have to send him a message that is clear. That what he did was wrong. You cannot give him gifts. You've got to send him off, teaching him a lesson of what he intended to do. To kill Isaac. It was to become a tool of the devil. Whether he was aware of it, that's beside the point. The point was out of his greed. He wanted to do something that was spiritually evil and against God's plan of salvation for mankind. In the case of Keturah's children and their sons and their son's sons, something like that did not happen. And so they were sent off very graciously by Abraham, giving them gifts in order to protect the Messianic line. And so the first thing we remember and learn from this is, wisdom is required in continuity. In our home as well. You want a spiritual home? We're not talking about your family name now. We're talking about you do not want Christianity in your home to die with you if the Lord tarries. I'm sure you want Christianity to pass on to your children. That means make sure your children are born again. And then teach them how to be godly mom and dad by your godly example, so that when it is time for them to find a life partner, they will have learned from you this amazing legacy. How to be a godly father or mother. So that when they have their own home, their children, which will be your grandchildren, will have this continuity of a Christian home. Wisdom. Wisdom is needed, otherwise regret will come in. Apply this to the church as a whole. If the Lord tarries, you do not want a Truth BP church to be sound and faithful only in this generation's existence, which is the first generation of your founding. You, I'm sure, want it to continue. And therefore, wisdom is required to train up the next generation of younger men and women. You have to. Because we are not going to be here forever. Not meant to be. If the Lord tarries, I pray the Lord will return soon. But let there be no regret. Wisdom is required in continuity, as you can see here. Abraham was not chasing the children of Keturah out of hatred or anger. None of these things. It was positive, not negative. Do not see this as a negative. This is a positive. This was a spiritual exercise and not a material exercise of giving all the money and stuff to Isaac. None of these things. It was a spiritual responsibility that belongs to Isaac that Abraham understood that must continue in him and him alone, because he was the chosen one through whom the Messiah will come one day. We don't have that responsibility per se, but the continuity to make sure that this church remains sound and healthy, that when it is time for us to leave, our sons and our daughters, our children, will inherit, in inverted commas, from us. We pass on to them a sound and fundamentally healthy, spiritually strong and doctrinally strong church, so that they can continue in this spiritual environment for their own spiritual well-being and for their sons and their daughters, our grandchildren, if the Lord tarries further. Because you do not want it to die. Just simply because you are going to heaven, you don't care about the next generation. You must not be so spiritually myopic. You cannot afford to. We know how hard it is. Because when we look at the churches in the New Testament, not a single one of them is in existence today. For those who just came back from your visit to Greece and Turkey, what did you see when you visited the church in Ephesus or some of these other cities like Thessalonica, Philippi or Corinth? I'm sure the guide with the tour bus will bring you to the sites where these churches were supposed to be located some time back, hundreds of years ago. Where are they now? You only see ruins. There is no church in Ephesus, no church in any of these cities, not even the mother of all mother churches in Jerusalem. All gone. What happened? All you need was one generation of derelict leaders, and all the years of faithful continuity will be cut off right there and then. It will stop there. It will end there. And subsequently, all the rest will continue to be apostate. Unless you get out, because it's very hard when a church that has turned apostate to be reversed. Because the leaders who have taken over are not stupid. They are not born again, but they are not stupid. They know the politics. They know how to destroy a sound, good, fundamental church, because they are the pawns and the tools of the devil. This is a spiritual exercise. Abraham was wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places, and that's why he had to send them away and give them gifts, so that Isaac will remain to continue the good work that God has begun in his life, which he had accomplished by God's grace and mercy for the past 100 years since he arrived at the age of 75. Abraham will be called home to glory, the Bible described for us in verse 7, at the age of 175. Exactly 100 years. Faithful for 100 years, and he must be wise enough to continue the work. Otherwise, the Messiah has not come. If he is faithful, very good, praise the Lord. But if he failed to pass it on to his son Isaac, his faithfulness was not good enough. It's only good for one generation, his generation. But in order for the Messiah to come, this messianic line requires many, many more generations. And God has given to him the privilege and the responsibility to be wise and to ensure there is proper continuity. And he did so. And he did so. So must we. Wisdom is required in continuity. Don't just simply pick any leader. Don't just simply find a life partner. Find a godly spouse, so that your home will be godly. Find godly leaders so that the church will be godly. Don't do so by some sentimental, I care for you, care for me kind of a mentality. This is not our church. This is Christ's church. He is the head. And therefore, everyone who is in positions of leadership must abide by the clearly given and revealed to us qualifications of elders, pastors, deacons, and deaconesses. Follow to the jot and tittle. Don't pick and choose. Everyone listed there by God is important, because any qualification that is there that you take out and you put this person who does not have the qualifications inside, that will be the Achilles heel, the weakness that the devil will use to destroy the leadership. That's all it needs. Just one area that you ignore, and you know the person does not have it, but you, for expediency's sake, put the person in, you pay the price. You can plead and pray for God's mercy to get the leader out, and he might, by his grace and mercy. But then you will still have to go through the journey of a lot of stress and strain. I'm speaking from experience. We make the mistake. Thank God for God's mercy to remove those bad, rotten leaders and to save the leadership, so that now we could function in unity, in harmony, and in peace. So do not have any sentimental shortcut when you look for leaders. If you want proper, good continuity, be wise. Because the source of true continuity is not from man or from the church. It's not from you or me. It's from Christ. Verse 7 to verse 11. The source of continuity. You and I do our part. But the true source of continuity has to come from God. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life. Okay, 175. You remember this 175, huh? Because we're going to do a little bit of mathematics. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in the good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. That means he went to heaven, paradise. Now his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah. So Ishmael was still around. Okay, Ishmael and Isaac, how old were they now when they buried Papa? 175? How old was Abraham when Ishmael was born? Do you remember? How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? That's easier, I guess, to calculate. 100, right? 100 years old Abraham was when Isaac was born. That means Isaac here was 75 years old. The age gap between Ishmael and Isaac, 13 years. So you just simply add the two together and you realize that Ishmael was 88, Isaac was 75. Now, they were not spring chicken, right? They were not little children. They were adults, 75 and 88. They were when they buried Abraham in the cave of Machpelah together with Sarah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife, which was by faith, because the burial ground was a testimony of home. Where you are buried, that's where home is. If you have time, visit Choa Chu Kang Cemetery and look for that small, tiny little part of Choa Chu Kang Cemetery, the old one, not the new one, where it is all fenced up. And there is an English signboard there, they will say there, Jewish Cemetery. And then there is the English translation of the Hebrew words, which is a poor, bad translation. Because the Hebrew words did not say Jewish Cemetery. If you know Hebrew, basic Hebrew, all you need is just simply elementary Hebrew and you will know how to read the words. It literally means the house of the living. What? You mean you call this gravesite the house of the living? That's correct. They believe in the resurrection. House of the living. Where you are buried, that's where home is. It's like a down payment. When he bought this place, the cave of Machpelah, it was his way of faith, trusting in God that one day, beyond my lifetime, I know that this land, which is now filled with Canaanites, will one day be filled with the descendants of Abraham and Isaac. Of course, they do not know about Jacob yet. Because God said so. God has promised. Now, that's continuity. Who is the one? God. Because he doesn't die. You and I will die. That's why the source of continuity has to be God. And therefore, your wisdom has to be in line with God's will. You cannot just simply suka suka do what you want in continuity. If you do that, you're going to be in serious trouble. You're going to use the arm of the flesh, the ways of the world to do continuity. You are finished. Don't put a person up because of nepotism. This is not your company. This is not your family business. Where you want people to continue because surname. No such thing. This is Christ Church. The Church of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So your wisdom, our wisdom in continuity must always be in line with God's will, because the source of continuity is God and God alone. You and I can do what you and I want, but God alone is the one who will sustain and keep the continuity strong and healthy, especially when it comes to the Messianic line. Abraham did his part, but the moment he's dead and gone, he's done. Sure, he's still alive in heaven, but alive in heaven is useless on earth, you know that, right? When a person who is a child of God completed his work of service on earth, he's still very much alive. In fact, you and I would have to say, he's more alive now than ever before, because he's no longer limited by his physical body, which is old and tired and maybe a lot of aches and pains. But once he's in heaven, he has been freed and delivered from this limitation. He's more alive now in heaven in the presence of Christ than ever before. However, he is useless here on earth because he can't do anything on earth. He's in heaven. Even though he may be in spirit, he is still bound by space and time. That's why it's so important for us to remember how precious our time here on earth is. Spend it wisely. It will not come back again. Use it carefully. It is limited. You don't have an extra refill somewhere. There is no refill. It's not like a fuel tank in your car. You drive, finish, near empty, go to some petrol station and top up. There is no top up. If you can find a place to top up, please let me know. I also want to go and top up. Only if my life is good. If my life is not good, I go and top up. You don't believe, you ask any beggar in the streets. You want to top up your life or not? You mean what? Top up for another 5-10 years so that I can continue to be a beggar? No, thank you. You ask the rich people on earth like Bill Gates. You want to top up? Sure, I want to top up. Why? Because I'm a billionaire. I want to have many more years to spend my billions. I know that the amount of time I have left, I can't spend all my billions. These people want top up. Poor people don't want top up. You want top up? No top up. So that's why cherish your time very wisely, because the source of continuity is God. God has given us the privilege and honor to be wise to do continuity. But never, never do it your own way, the way of carnality. Always the way of God, because when you do it according to God's way, God will continue it, because the source of true continuity is God and God alone. God and God alone. You can do what you want, but God is the one who will work in the heart of Ishmael. Ishmael may be all alone now. But Ishmael could just simply pack his bag and go somewhere and do something else and spoil everything. That's why he has to trust in the Lord. The Lord is the source. And you and I must see that, because look at verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt in the well Lahairoi. God is the one who blessed Isaac. You see this? That's how we know that the source of true continuity is from God. Nobody else, because God will still have to protect Isaac. He was still living in tentage. That's Lahairoi, not inside a big city. Still outside, continuing what father has taught him. Not allowed to live in a city. I'm sure he will pass it on to his son, Jacob. That's why when Joseph sent the entourage with all the pomp and grandeur of Egyptian palace life to bring him to Egypt, what was Jacob's reaction? Even though he longed to see his beloved Joseph, whom he thought had died, killed by wild animals. He had not seen him for so many years, since he was 17 years old. How old was Joseph when he invited Papa to visit him? Can you remember? How old was Joseph when he became Prime Minister? 30. How many years of good years? 7. So 37. Then 7 years of great famine. How many years into the 7 years of great famine? 2 years. So 9 years. So 39. He was 39 when he invited Papa to come. So Papa did not see him for how many years? 39 minus 17. 22 years. Longing to see, and yet he did not go straight away. He prayed, "Lord, is it your will for me to go?" Because he had been taught by his father Isaac, who has been taught by his father Abraham, stay outside of the city. You go. And then he understood. Because God will use Egypt now as the womb, like a mother, to turn 75 souls that Jacob or Israel brought in. And after 430 years, it will grow to 2 million. Now it's time for God to give birth to the nation in the time of Moses. But in the meantime, God must be the source. God will bless Isaac. First with children, and then with the heart and the mind to stay put. God is the one. Because God alone can control hearts and desires. You know that, right? The world will try. The world will try in their weak and failed attempts to control hearts of men. You know how they do it, right? They use material things. And so when you go to work, what do you think they use? Money and promotion. And then when you have these headhunters calling you because of your expertise, what would they use to entice you to move from point A to point B? More money, better prospects, better promotion, right? And that's how they change your heart, basically your loyalty. But that's not how God works. God is not going to use materialism. He has to make sure that Isaac was born again so that the heart will be that of a child of God who will listen to the voice of God Himself. And you and I know that salvation belongs only to God. And that's how we know that the source of any continuity when it comes to spiritual world has to be God and God alone. So that when it succeeds, don't you dare take any credit. It is God and God alone. Nobody else, because God alone is in control of our hearts. No man. And so we must never try to use any other carnal means to bring about continuity. That kind of continuity is basically carnality. You want the prayer meeting to increase in numbers? Two ways to do it. One on your knees and pray and ask God back for His mercy to move the hearts of the people to come for the right reason. Or, you don't have to go down on your knees, you just simply use money, mammon. Everyone who comes to prayer meeting from now until December, how many more prayer meetings? Now is just beginning of June, right? June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So let's say out of 52 weeks, let's say half is gone, 26 plus one more, four, so let's say 30 weeks. So from now until December, 30 weeks, if all of you come, father, mother, children, young children, each and everyone, including the babies, if you come, the church will give each and every one of you $5,000. So family of five, Franco, how many? Six, huh? Also four children, right? So six plus five, wow, $30,000, Franco. Not bad, huh? So bring all your children to come for prayer meeting, plus your pets, half price. Prayer meeting, sure, 100%, guaranteed. Guaranteed, $5,000, everyone from now until December, everyone will come. And therefore, you can put in your weekly, our church is special. Everyone come for prayer meeting. Don't tell them the reason, huh? Just put down the numbers. Everyone in church come for prayer meeting. And perhaps even the prayer meeting may have more people than your worship on Sunday. Because worship on Sunday, no money, right? Ah, you see? You want continuity? You have more people to come for prayer meeting? Next year, inflation 6,000. And next year, another. Continuity. People will come for prayer meeting. You want to go by that means? That's called carnality, not continuity. Continuity has to have God as the source. That means it has to be done rightly and correctly. Because continuity must have proper, sound trust in God, responsibility. Otherwise, it will not work. And so we are told, immediately after verse 11, verse 22, God listed out Ishmael and his descendants. And so the long list is there. Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bore unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebaioth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mitsam. And then Mishma, and Duma, and Masa, and Hadar, and Tema, Yetor, Nafish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are the names of their towns and their castles, and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. Now, he was 137. How old do you think was Isaac? Minus 13, 124. 124. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered upon his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. That's Ishmael. Why did God insert this? Remember what we read earlier in Genesis 21, when God drove Ishmael away. If you recall, what God said to Abraham, when Abraham only gave a bottle of water and some bread. God said to him, hearken unto the voice of your wife, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also of the son of the bondwoman, that is Ishmael, will I make a nation, because he is your seed, Abraham. Because of you, I will now make Ishmael into a nation. The responsibility of continuity is God and God alone, and God will keep His word. And so if God said, Ishmael will not die, will not perish, and he will become a nation, Genesis 25 verse 12 to verse 18 is a fulfillment of that promise. In other words, God is a keeper of promise. Because responsibility and continuity is always based upon God's strength and character and His word. Not yours, not mine. That's why it is so important for us to do all things according to God's word. Wisdom in continuity, our responsibility. But whatever we plan and do, it has to be based upon God's word, because the source of continuity is God and God alone. And you must know that when God is the source, God has the power and faithfulness to keep it, and God did. And that's what we see in verse 12 to verse 23. And Ishmael, faithful in the least, faithful in the much, because Ishmael is not the messianic line, and yet God kept his word. And God said to Abraham, he will be a nation, just simply water and bread. He did not die. He became a nation. And that few verses span many, many decades. From the time he moved out to the time he died. How old was he when he moved out? 13. Remember, he was upset and angry when they rejoiced at the party of Isaac's birth. He was about 13, 14 years old. And now he was 137. That's a long time. God just simply compressed 100 plus years of his life into a few verses to let us know that what God promised Abraham, that he will be a nation, God honored it. Faithful in the least, because he's not the messianic line, faithful in the much. And the faithful in the much, we see in the next few verses. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Now, Isaac is the messianic line, and that's where it is different. Very different. The continuity is God's responsibility. Not yours, not mine. Even though God gave us the honor and the privilege to do it. And that's why we have to do it His way. Don't do it our own way. Because God will never die. He will continue it. His responsibility, truly. It's His and His alone. Abraham understood it because the continuity of the responsibility will be long after he was dead and gone. He understood it. And so must we. You can only do what you can in your lifetime while you're still on earth before the Lord takes you home to heaven. The moment you and I arrive in heaven, you and I know that we are useless on earth, right? Unless the Lord raise you from the dead like what He did to Lazarus and let you live again and serve again. But other than that, once it's done for good. So be wise in ensuring continuity in your home and in the church. Not in the business out there. In the world out there, no use. That is the world that is reserved for destruction by fire. Don't just spend your energy continuing your company, if you have one. Spend the continuity in things spiritual. That is true continuity. What you do and see outside is futility. They can do whatever they want. It will all be destroyed by God. Futility, not continuity. Let it be in your home and in the church. That you can do. And that you must do. Remembering the source of continuity is the Lord. And the Lord will be responsible. He can be trusted. He is faithful. He will not fail us. He will not fail Abraham. And He will not fail Isaac. But Isaac must do his part. And so the Bible tells us, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife and the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire the Lord. She now had twins. She did not know that because she felt very uncomfortable. And then she was told by the Lord, after the Lord used some, what do they do when a woman is pregnant? They use that scan thing or whatever, right? God didn't have that kind of gadget. So God just simply told her that inside you are two nations. They are in the womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elders shall serve the younger. In other words, the younger one will be the chosen one, not the older. The responsibility of continuity is the Lord. Can you and I cause a woman to give birth who is barren? No. God can. And God did. Don't ever forget that the strength and the power of continuity is in God alone, and God is responsible for the continuity, and He will do it, and He has done it repeatedly over and over and over again. That's why don't do it our own way. continuity must be according to God's scriptures and God's word. That is the wisdom that you and I must apply in continuity. That's how we know that God is the source, and the responsibility in continuity is God and God alone. Because we die, you die, I die, but God never dies, and He will continue it in His grace and His mercy. You'd have to trust Him, and He did. He gave birth to twins, to the family of Isaac. Now remember, the wife was barren. He married at the age of 40, Rebecca. How old was Isaac when the twins were born? 60. Now this would be next time, God willing, the next message. 60. If he was 60 when the twins were born, how old was Abraham? Now I know that the Bible recorded his death in verse 7. And this incident of the birth of the twins in verse 23. But please understand that God had to complete one revelation concerning Abraham's life before he can continue with the revelation of Isaac's life. Abraham was 160 when the twins were born. Because remember, he was 100 when Isaac was born. Right? So when Isaac married at the age of 40, Abraham was 140. And so when Isaac was 60, when the twins were born, Abraham was 160. So he was a grandfather able to see the two sons for 15 years before the Lord took him home at the age of 175. God was gracious and merciful to let Abraham have a glimpse of the continuity. Because he also understood that if Isaac, his son, who married Rebekah, whom he sent the steward to choose, did not have any children, it will also come to naught. And so thank God the Lord gave him that privilege to see that out of these two sons, Jacob was the one who will continue on the messianic line. So God, in His mercy, allowed Abraham, who completed his life faithfully, to continue in his son Isaac, and he was given a glimpse of this young man, Jacob, who will continue on the messianic line. Because Jacob was a character. And we are going to study his life, but remember the ages. The ages are very important and significant, because otherwise we are going to imagine that these are young boys. They are not teenagers, they are not young boys. Okay? You must know the ages, so that when you figure out the age of Jacob when he was sent away later on because of the trouble in the house, all the way to Mama's place back in Haran, where the servant went there to look for Rebekah. He will now go there. You know how old was he when he was sent away? He was not 17. You'll be surprised. He is older than majority of us. He was older than me when he went away. You mean he married so late? Of course he married very late, because they live much, much longer than we live. So please know the ages. They are recorded there for our understanding, so that you and I do not have to imagine, because many of us, I think when you imagine Jacob being sent away, he was maybe a spring chicken or 22 years old, huh? Right? That's how he can have a wife and then have so many children. You'll be shocked and surprised when we come to that passage. He was not 20 plus, not even 30 plus, not even 40 plus. I'm 60 plus, so he's older than me. Whoa. That's why I tell my wife, when are we going to have our next child? I'm young, I'm only 60 plus. Jacob will have 12 children, way past my age, you know. Whoa. My wife looked at me in shock, in horror. Of course, she rebuked me. Because she rebuked me not as a member, as a wife. Wife can rebuke husband. Member cannot rebuke pastor, right? Continuity. It has to be God's responsibility. Remember this. So that when it takes place, who gets the glory? Who? Him. Him and Him alone. Yeah, you use your wisdom. Fine, we use our wisdom. But the actual carrying out and the potency of the continuity is God and God alone.
not yours, not mine, in our homes, in our families. We can do our part, but ultimately, it is God and God alone who will save our children. And if God were to tarry and the Lord tarries, our children will hopefully, God willing, be godly parents themselves and continue on. Same for this church. In your ministries, the same thing. Follow the prescribed qualities and qualifications of leaders. But ultimately, when these leaders are found, when they continue the good work that God has used you to start, the Lord is the true source of continuity, and He has the power to ensure the continuity, and give Him therefore all the glory and praise and honor when people are blessed by what you do to continue on the good work. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for the way that You work in the lives of Your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and later on in Jacob and his son, Joseph. How wonderful a testimony that You've recorded for us to see how good and how gracious and merciful You are to all Your servants. Despite our weaknesses and our frailties, You were able to accomplish Thy wonderful work to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ at His first coming in order to save us and the world from sin. Thank You, Father, for the privilege where we can serve Thee. Grant to us the wisdom to ensure that continuity is found in our homes and in our church. If the Lord tarries, that the Christian home that You have given to us in our lifetime may continue on, because we have made wise decisions in the bringing up of our children, so that they too may learn from mom and dad how to be godly parents and godly spouses, so that they in turn, if the Lord tarries, to have their own godly home. And we pray, Father, the same for the church, that the leaders in this church will be wise and follow the scriptures in the choice of leaders in fellowship as well as in session, that all those whom You have appointed will truly be godly men and women who will take care of Your people in this church. And help us never to forget that when the continuity truly is experienced by Your people and hearts and lives are blessed, may we never forget that the source and responsibility of true continuity is Yours and Yours alone. For You are able and have the power to work in the hearts of men, women and children to keep them in the path of holiness and righteousness, so that at the end of our lives, when we see lives are blessed because of the wisdom and continuity that we have accomplished by Your strength and Your wisdom, all glory may be given unto Thee and Thee alone. Thank You, Father, for this church and for our homes and for our families and our loved ones. Help us, O Lord, to care for them, to look after them, and to ensure that if the Lord tarries, we will leave behind a godly home, godly church for the next generation. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.